Our message is a spiritual declension, and our text is Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 12. Reformed theology traces its roots to the 16th century Protestant Reformation, a clarion call by the reformers to go back to the pure and unadulterated teachings of the Bible, as opposed to the man-concocted doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Reformation was represented by the five solas. Sola is the Latin meaning alone or only. And the phrases sola fide, by faith only, sola scriptura, by scripture alone, sola Christus, through Christ alone, sola gratia, by grace alone, and soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the divine human reformer sent by God the Father in the fullness of time during the period of immense spiritual declension in Israel to bring his people back to the pure and unadulterated teachings of God. And God himself had to do so in the Protestant Reformation. The battle was to bring the people back to the teachings of the Bible. The Word of God was identified in the 16th century after 1,000 years of darkness, where the church at large do not receive the teaching of God's Word. We saw in the Protestant Reformation how the Word of God was studied in the original, how it was identified, and the Word of God in the original Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek was studied by the reformers, and this brought about spiritual awakening. In our prayer meeting, we were studying the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we saw also how the scribe Ezra, when he read the scriptures, how the people were awakened to their spiritual condition and how they repented of their sins and how they came back to God. Martin Luther was the German Augustinian monk who sparked the 16th century Protestant Reformation on the 15th of October 1517. When he nailed 95 theses or statements on the church Kassel door at Wittenberg in Germany to expose the deviation of the Roman Catholic Church from Orthodox Christianity as revealed in the Bible. In Jesus' time, he affirmed the Old Testament scripture that has been passed down since it was first written by Moses and the prophets. He said this in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Will you turn there? Luke chapter 24, verse 44. He says that these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. The law of Moses referred to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And in the prophets, these are the historical books of the Bible written by the prophets. And the Psalms, this refer to the historical or the poetic or wisdom books that is represented by the Psalms, consisting of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, mainly written by David and Solomon. And Jesus said these words to affirm that the Old Testament scriptures that has been passed down for the past 1,500 years since the time of Moses was fulfilled in him. Jesus says that I am the Messiah, the Christ that was to come and has come. And so he authenticated the Old Testament scripture and set the seal upon it. And Jesus is saying to the people that by faith alone and that by scripture alone, your spiritual life will be established. And you are to live by the principles that are taught in God's word. But in the time of Jesus, amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, this was not so. And our text here tells us. The scene that is open before us in the last verse of chapter 15 tells us that Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee and he came over to the northern part, which is Tiberias, and in the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, this place called Magdala. And it is here that he met the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Two thoughts as we find out about their faithless theology, their man-concocted theology that has tripped all Jewry, a leaven or a poison that has permeated to all Israel and is causing great spiritual declension. Israel was on the downward slide, moving all the way to the bottom. And it was at that time that our Lord Jesus was sent. Two thoughts from our text. Live not by sight alone. Verse 1 to 4. With reference to Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And secondly, live not by bread alone. Verses 5 to 12. With reference to Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Men living by sight alone, verse 1 to 4. The theology of the Pharisees and the scribes is a faithless theology that is based on sight. Between them, they are already at loggerheads. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection and in the immortality of the soul, whilst the Sadducees, they deny both the resurrection and the immortality of the soul. And yet, you see that they, for the first time, would join hands together to trap Jesus. I see, therefore I believe. And not, I believe, therefore I see, was the theology of the Pharisees. And Jesus exposed their spiritual blindness. Show me the evidence before I can believe you. But the evidence was before them. Did they not witness the miracles that Jesus had wrought? There is this disease that is going all over. How is it that the Son of God is in front of them and yet they rejected him? They said that they are spiritually okay. And yet, the Son of God is before them and has been teaching them the truth all this time. And yet, they could not see it. It's a very scary thing to think we know the truth. But in actual fact, we do not. Verse 1 says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Is not this man who is standing before them the greatest sign that you can ever see? If you are looking for a sign, then Jesus says, this is it, I'm the sign. God himself has come in human flesh to dwell among men. He is standing in front of you. And as you open the scriptures, this is the Jesus that God wants you to know. And the word to show in verse 1 means to show proof. And the word desired is not just asking for the sake of finding understanding. Remember, he says here that they were tempting, desired that he would show them. What were they trying to do? They were demanding that Jesus show proof. He says, you show proof, then I will believe you. What are they doing? Well, they are challenging God. They are raising their arm against God, in front of God. What audacity! They said to Jesus, I will not believe you. Can you show proof to convince me? In other words, they are saying to Jesus, we are not going to be convinced. Whatever proof you will show us. They are asking for a sign to use it against Jesus. And so this verse tells us, describes to us the hard-heartedness, the spiritual blindness that was in Israel at that time. They had God with them. Did they not see the miracles? How could they not believe? Jesus is the Old Testament scripture fulfilled to the jot and tittle. Faith was wanting. Simple faith to take God at his word, to believe God's proof, was sorely wanting. We don't want to read the Bible and just simply take it as it reveals to us. Christ's doctrine. He has spent some time now teaching the people. And the miracles that he did, do they not prove that the Messiah is come? That the kingdom of grace is at hand? That they are to believe? And so Jesus reproved them for not discerning the times. Verse 2, he answered and said unto them, when it was evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? You know how to read the weather. You know when it is red sky in the evening, then it will be good weather the next day. You know that if it's red sky in the morning, then it is a warning that foul weather will come. Those who are at sea, if you were to go out to sea and you are a mariner, then you will be a good reader of the weather, because you want to know so that you can maneuver safely through the sea. And the mariners have this saying, red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors warning. In the spiritual realm, Jesus is saying to them, did you not see how the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to seek out the King of the Jews? Remember, we were studying in Matthew chapter 2. Did they not see the star that is in the east and come to worship him? And how they testified to Herod the birth of Israel's Messiah? And how they saw Jesus and fell down and worshipped him. How they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We all know right? And we have studied that gold is a precious gift fit for kings. But what is frankincense? We said before that frankincense is more expensive than gold by gram. Frankincense was one of the sacred incense that is used for the worship of God in the tabernacle, fitted for the worship only of God. And Israel was not allowed to make incense for themselves. It is only used to worship God. And you see, this man from the east came and they brought this incense to worship. And so when Jesus was born, there was a stir in the cosmos. A cosmic miracle did take place. And this was observed with great interest by the wise men. And chapter 2 begins by telling us, "Behold, observe the scene with your mind's eye, the mind's eye of faith, that this took place, and this is worthy of your attention. There's the announcement of the birth of the Son of God, this Jesus, how he would come in the form of a servant in a lowly manger, and how this wise man came and worshipped him. But before the wise men came, the shepherds came. They were illiterate men. And how when the angel revealed to them the coming of the Messiah, how they all came and find this Jesus. So the wise men came to see Jesus, the living Word, in Bethlehem, in the house of bread. And we are reading this written word. It is food for our soul. And how they fell down and worshiped him. What does it mean? This is a God-given faith. Like the penitent sinner who stood beside Jesus when he hung on the cross. Such a faith God delights. Let us not be ashamed to believe Jesus, this Jesus of the Bible, to confess him. Let us not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There was great unbelief by this so-called men of God. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. And Jesus called them false professors. Verse 4. "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And he left them and departed. Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees wicked. He said they are evil. And he tells them they are an adulterous generation. Very, very strong words. Spiritual adultery. They were unfaithful to the word of God. What did they do? The Pharisees added to the word of God. They come up with all their rules. And they bind the people with these rules and tell them that you have to follow all these rules. And what about the Sadducees? The Sadducees took away from the word of God. They said there is no resurrection. There is no immortality of the soul. So who are these people? Well, spiritual adulterers. Jesus is lambasting them. Jesus is saying to them, "Of a truth, you have not been faithful to the oracles of God that has been entrusted to you. They have refused all the spiritual signs that were given to them by the grace of God." You know, in our study in the Gospel of Matthew, the evidences of Christ's credential as Messiah that fulfill the Old Testament scripture is so overwhelming And yet, they are so blind to see all this and they will not receive the Christ. Jesus said to them, there is no sign, or there shall no sign be given except the sign of Jonas. What does it mean? Well, as Jesus was 3 days, or as Jonas was 3 days in the whale's belly, Jesus, the Son of Man, will be 3 days in the grave. And this sign of Jonah alludes to the resurrection. How they would go on to reject Jesus, to oppose his deity, and how he would have the victory over them when he would rise from the dead. So he was predicting to them his coming death and his coming resurrection, that he is indeed the Messiah. So he tells them, no sign will be given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. After 3 days, he would arise from the grave. So the hypocrites tempted God. Jesus said, I would leave you to yourself. Jesus left them. What more to say to them? They would not take God at his word. They would not believe the God of the scriptures. And God could not help them. Their hearts were hardened. This is the first thought. Living by sight alone. As the Apostle Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are to take God at his word. Jesus says it, we believe it, and it is counted to us for righteousness. So that's the theology of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then from verse 5 to 12, living by bread alone. Verse 5 says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Sadducees. Jesus said to them, please see with your spiritual eyes. Jesus was trying to explain to them to see the spiritual poison, how deadly these Pharisees and Sadducees were, how their poison is pervading all Jewry, undermining the propagation of the true faith that Jesus is preaching. And Jesus tells them in two words. He says, take heed and beware. The word there means to see, to open your eyes and see what is the truth, and then believe it. Jesus is warning them of the dangers of the doctrines of these Pharisees and scribes. Verse 12 says, then understood they, the disciples, how he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is this leaven? Well, the leaven is the yeast that is placed in the bread to cause the bread to rise. And it is that little leaven that would permeate into the entire bread. This leaven works secretly and noiselessly, but it will gradually change the entire character of the religion in which they are mixed. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were teaching a doctrine that would cast the faith, or cast away, cause the people to be cast away in their faith. Very scary. Jesus is warning them that this false doctrine will harm the body of God's people. It would throw them off the way of truth and lead them to imbibe falsehood. What are these leaven? As we said, for the Pharisees, it is justification by works. Save yourself by obeying the rules that has been set around the law, and you will be saved. Not by faith alone and Christ alone. And for the Sadducees, we said they deny the resurrection of the body and the immortality of the soul. They subtracted from God's word. Both were against the truth of the gospel. And so Jesus said, or the word of God says, those who add and subtract to the word of God, then God would place severe judgment upon these. You remember the prophet Samuel, when he was a little boy and God called him, he was in the temple together with the priest Eli, and how God spoke to him, how God called him, and the Bible tells us how he spoke every word that was given by God. He did not take out anything, and he did not add anything. He gave the word of God as it is, and it is that characterized the life of Samuel throughout his ministry. And God wants us to realize that. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, to the disciples, that the teachings of the Pharisees and the scribes are infectious. They are like cancer cells. They attack the body to destroy it. And it comes little by little. And so the disciples are not to be won over by this false teachers. They were supposed to represent orthodox religion in Israel, but they were not pointing the people to the living God. Jesus himself was there, and they rejected him. Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so these scribes and the Pharisees, they seem to be able to discern the weather. Right? They know right from left, it seems, so well. And yet they could not see the truth of the living God. And Jesus highlighted to them this truth, that they are yet in their sins. The Bible Presbyterian Church imbibed the spirit of the 16th century Reformation to go back to the authority of the Bible for faith and practice. The five solas summarizes for us how we ought to approach God and His Word. And throughout church history, the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, has been attacked by the godless, or even the Godhead is being attacked. 1 John 5:7 is being omitted in most of the modern versions of the Bible. Great attack upon the truth comes in the use of the modern versions of the English Bible. They are translated from the Westcott and Hort text that has 9,900 words missing as compared to the preserved Greek Textus Receptus. And this is equivalent to 1st and 2nd Peter. It's as if you have these two sections, two books, tear off the Bible. That's how serious it is. The kind of additions and the kind of subtractions that has taken place. This is the modern Pharisees and the Sadducees for our learning. But the King James Bible that we are using is translated from the received text. A word-for-word translation. And therefore, by the logic of faith, the inerrant and infallible scripture in the Old Testament is found in the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek New Testament that is found in the Textus Receptus underlying the King James Version of the Bible, the Reformation Bible. So with confidence, we can say, thus saith the Lord, that the gospel will be declared accordingly. These God-breathed words that is passed down to us since it has been written will stand written. You can read it and you can be confident that these are the words of Jesus himself. Word-for-word translation, translated from the original. There shall no sign be given except the sign of the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek text for your spiritual well-being. God wants us to realize the kind of situation that we are in, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you discern the times? Will you say it is easier to read? Or will you stick to the old faith, the Reformation Bible? Then you look at the response of the disciples. Verse 7. They reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." And then Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" What were the disciples thinking about? They were imagining that Jesus was speaking about the bodily leaven. And Jesus quickly corrected them and showed them the intent of his words. Jesus pointed out to his disciples that they should be careful of bread and imagine that Jesus himself was anxious about bread. Well, Jesus is saying to them, "Have you not experienced my power in providing for you? Why are you at this crucial point in time in this contention for the faith talking about your bread, your daily bread?" Verse 9 and 10. "Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither of the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up?" The practical aspect of the understanding of the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, must cause us to have faith in believing that he will take care of us as we follow him. And so the disciples demonstrated little faith. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 Jesus cited to them was to assure them of his power to provide bread for his servants, and they need not be anxious about this matter. So Jesus said to them, "Remember the miracles of the loaves? It is proof of my ability to help you. Do not be anxious. Worry not. When you have Jesus, this Jesus of the Bible, you have all you need. Jesus said to them in the temptation, Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Spiritual food is more important than physical food. Physical food is good for this life, but spiritual food is good for eternal life. The soul is more important than the body. The body is only for this 60, 70 years. But Jesus' mission was to win the soul for eternity. His mission was to win heaven for them. And so Jesus is saying to them, be careful. Do not be tempted. Do not be veered off course. Realize what we are speaking about, the contention that is before us. Remember when Jesus was in the temptation and how Satan tempted him sore after 40 days and 40 nights he was anhungered, without food, and then how he warded off the attacks of Satan with the written word, and he said to them, it is written. And how after the temptation, God sent angels to minister to him, providing him comfort and the necessary food and nourishment for his famished body. Our Lord did not suspect or doubt his Father's providential care over him. And neither must we. And we must not be distracted from obeying and following and preaching the Word of God. When we begin this outreach, there are those who came to us and said, you must be out of your mind. How can you sustain yourself without help? Well, we said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will provide. Did he not provide? We all came in faith. And he sustained us for the last 1 year. Will he not continue to sustain us? Well, we need to continue to trust in him. And we need to continue to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. As Jesus did, he exposed the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He tells them, come back to the Word of God. Come back to the Word of God. Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? This vigilance that Jesus tells us to guard against falsehood is the grammar of the verb that is in the continuous tense. It's given here in verse 11, you are to beware. And again, it was given to us twice in verse 6, to take heed and to beware. We are to be on guard. You are to learn from the Word of God according to the Word of God. We must not add. We must not subtract. You have to be on guard. You have to develop this spiritual discipline to cling on to the Jesus of the Bible. You must not deviate. Biblical Christianity is the only solution to man's problems. In Christ, we have victory over sin, sorrow, and death. And we are the privileged people with the message of salvation. God has opened our spiritual eyes, and by His grace, through His Word, with the help of His Spirit, God will open the eyes of others as we go and tell of the love of God, the gospel, the pure word of God, as the Apostle Paul said, declared in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This must be our testimony too. These are the two thoughts. Live not by sight alone, using our wisdom, our human wisdom, to find God. Rather, biblical Christianity is to receive faith as we receive God's word by faith in His revelation. And secondly, live not by bread alone, in verse 5 to 12. As Jesus corrected the disciples to rest assured that He will take care of their needs upon this earth, as they trust Him, they can trust in His care, as Jesus Himself said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May we examine ourselves. May we not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who thought that they stand, but without Jesus, they were fall flat. May God help us. May God help us to come to the Jesus of the Bible. He has done so much for us. He has died for us upon the cross. And He has risen for us. And He has given to us spiritual life. And He wants us to obey Him, come to Him, love Him, by upholding His word and to live by it. Not an easy thing. Oftentimes, a painful thing. But it is the worthy thing. And it is also what will bring the greatest eternal benefit. May God give to us the faith to trust in Him and to walk with Him. And we thank God that He has brought you here to come, and to together we will serve God together, because He has given to us a life worth living and a life worth serving. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us spiritual life, giving to us hope and strength through Thy pure and unadulterated word. O God, may Thou help us. May Thou bless our study. May Thou grant to us Thy wisdom according to Thy word, that we may be able to love Thee and serve Thee, and that You may help us, that we may walk with Thee all the days of our life. May Thou help us to see the danger of deviating from Thy inerrant and infallible and preserved word. May Thou help us to cling on to Thy word, and may Thou help us to serve Thee in this last of the last days, where the world, where faith is wanting. O Lord, may Thou give the remnant of Thy people faith, and strong faith, not little faith. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.